Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
I don't mean to brag, but the way that I just got through that clap with how my palm is feeling after dropping that fucking fireproof filing cabinet on myself yesterday, unbelievably tough.
Can you walk us through what happened?
I mean, it's easy, yeah. So I'm rearranging my shop, picked up these fireproof filing cabinets are heavy as shit. And I was more concerned about, because my shop has been in a state of disarray, so I was more concerned about getting through that area. I moved everything out of the way so I had a clear path. But somehow my brain stopped, and I didn't think about the cinder block and the other huge block that was out in front. So when I had it in my hands already, I saw the cinder block out of the corner of my eye, stepped on that, and then went to make the next step. And then I hit the other brick and fell, and it landed like right on my palm. So it was like a point of 75, 80 pounds that went straight into the meaty part of my palm. And I knew I was on video, so I couldn't act like a little bitch, but I wanted to. Like, it hurt so bad.
Did you let out any sort of scream or cry or anything?
No, I'm not that way. Like, I'm a big crier. You guys know that. Like, you see me cry a million times. But I will never cry from pain, ever.
No, I guess I meant like a cry of like, oh, great Odin's raven.
Oh, no, I'm more of a, oh, son of a fucking bitch kind of guy.
Don't give too much away.
That's going to leave a mark.
This will be on Monday's Longtime Toolies, won't it? Don't spoil it. No spoiler alert.
Captured on video. Unbelievable. But that's not the big news today. The big news is it's a birthday episode here on Zero Block 30. That's because we're celebrating the United States Navy's 275th birthday. Woo-hoo! Happy birthday to them. Way to go, Navy. Today, we have five rounds in the magazine. Round number one, if you could say one thing to your recruiter, what would it be? That's the question one soldier posed to his buddies in a viral social media post, and the Pogue civilians are all in a tizzy about their answer. Round number two, out with the mold, in with the new. The U.S. Army plans to spend nearly $10 billion repairing its barracks over the next decade, and we've got the man for the job. It's me. I'm a longtime toolie. It's me. Let me do the barracks. Because they're using expensive-ass tools. That's the first thing that I showed to Kyle. I was like, can you believe this? What they're using in the barracks? It is the most expensive piece of equipment that you can buy. Like, the most expensive brand, and the Army is using it in their barracks for vinyl flooring. Unreal.
And we have a better brand for them anyway that I'm sure we'll get to eventually. But
yeah, round three. Grab your top-secret clearances. We're taking you on a deep dive under the ice of Greenland to tell you about Project Iceworm, which are frozen nuke tunnels that are heating things up since the Cold War. Round number four, in the criminal justice system, postal-based offenses are considered especially heinous. In Pittsburgh, the dedicated detectives who investigate these vicious felonies are members of an elite squad known as the Special Postal Unit. Dun, dun.
Dun, dun.
Round number five, the police call. Long lines of troops hunched over, endlessly searching for something mundane in the grass. We asked you, what are the stupidest things your unit ever looked for? You guys can sit this one out if you're in 2-9, because we already know the answer. You did it for weeks at a time. And all of that today is going to be brought to you by our friends at 3Chi. If you haven't tried 3Chi, you need to. It helps you sleep. It helps you do all kinds of stuff. It helps you feel relaxed. It helps you have the giggles, even if it's a little episode of The Office that you've watched 50 times already. Whenever Michael Scott comes in and he's got a big old dump on the middle of his floor and Creed walks by and says, somebody making soup. If you've taken 3Chi, whenever that happens, you're going to laugh. I guarantee it, because Delta 8 is a federal legal version of THC. don't get in trouble for it. Delta 8's effects are a perfect hybrid of CBD and Delta 9, giving a similar buzz and all the medical benefits of Delta 9 without the laziness, the anxiety, the paranoia, the mental fogginess. Delta 8 users report feeling far more active and outgoing with increased confidence and almost none of the anxiousness and paranoia associated with it. Delta 8 is federally legal THC, and it is perfect substitute for anyone using Delta 9 who want the same feelings without the negative side effects, and it'll have you feeling amazing yet functional and clear-headed. 3Chi isn't just the best Delta 8 in the industry, they're the ones who invented it, and it is 100% derived, federally legal, and available online at 3Chi.com. That's the number 3CHI.com at select retailers, too. They're in stores now. You must be 21 to purchase. Use the promo code ZERO at checkout, and you're going to receive 5% off your order. Make sure that you go check it out. It's wonderful. It's delicious. The gummies, they figured out the way to make the gummies. Now, when I first got it, the gummies melted. They changed their little recipe a little bit. Now the gummies are good, and you're coming in on wintertime, so you have no excuse not to get those. Go to 3chi.com, use the promo code ZERO to get 5% off. Let's get going with the show.
Got his ass. Got his ass.
Oh, you look so happy, and the look of defeat was unbelievable.
I would expect nothing less.
Yeah.
That was a good time. It was a good time indeed. It's been a good week here. Like, I feel like this week we're kind of in a groove. We made the decision, even though McCartney was able to go back to school, not going. We're keeping them back. Well, because some of the other kids in the neighborhood decided they weren't going to go, and the parents were concerned and were like, if any of the kids that are going to school, they can't come over because we don't want to spread it here, because it is picking up in San Antonio again. I don't know why they're starting school, because they're just going to end up closing it down anyway. And we made the decision we'd rather do online school and have McCartney be able to play outside and go play with their friends and stuff like that than just go to school and then be bored as shit whenever they get home. So
I have a family member, like, same situation pretty much in their school for their kids, and they decided the same thing. They're like, you know what? Because then they're like, my friend's like, if I travel for work, my kid can't go to school then anyway for like whatever weeks, and I can't stop my life, because so we're just keeping them home doing that too. It's tough. It's
so annoying. Completely annoying.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. But hopefully just make a vaccine, please. Please.
Yeah. Please make a vaccine. It,
please, sir. Like,
please.
It's just ridiculous. I was walking through a store the other day and thinking, it does feel kind of strange. You know, like this morning I went to go pick up some kolaches for the squad, some like basically Mexican or German pigs in a blanket. Mm-hmm. And right before I'm going in the store, I put something over my face. Like, if you'd have done that a year ago, people would look at you like you're going to rob the place.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're like, what do you mean I can see your face? What do you mean?
Yeah.
I'll tell you this much. If they came to my unit when I was in and they were like, we need people to test this vaccine on, it's kind of risky, but you don't have to field day for the rest of the year, I'm in. Shoot me up. Do whatever you got to do.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not going to give military like a way out of it anyway. You're going to be put on a hit roster. You're definitely taking that thing. It's just like with smallpox. Whenever they started the smallpox vaccine, they had no idea what the side effects were for that thing at all. People were getting huge scars. Do either of you have scars?
Oh, yeah, I still got mine. I think it's here somewhere.
I have a huge one that people point out all the time, and I tell them it's a cigar burn.
Yeah, because they all pumped that. Like, that shouldn't have happened. Like, they should have done stuff where you didn't have to go through that in order to get the smallpox vaccine. The same thing with malaria and all these different – whenever I went to Japan, they had to give me, like, 15 shots before I went to Japan. It's ridiculous.
Mm. Oh, my God. The lady who did my anthrax shot, the corpsman, got me right in a nerve. And I couldn't move my left arm. This was like a week before, probably a little longer than that, but like right before we deployed. And I could not lift my arm above my head. I couldn't even lift it up to shampoo it, whatever. I'm like, how am I supposed to go to Afghanistan? This lady got me right in the fucking nerve. Crazy.
Yeah, that's probably not cool for the best to get you in the nerve there.
Cons, when you went to West Point, did they line you guys up when you first get there and give you a shot in the ass?
No, we did not do that.
Did you? Did you ever have to do that?
No.
Oh, so whenever you first get to boot camp at for the Marines, they line you all up and they give you this thing called the peanut butter shot. And it's a really thick serum and it goes straight into your ass cheek. And then the entire platoon is sitting like basically nut to butt, like in a, almost like you're doing a human cannonball into a pool. Uh-huh. And you just got to rock back and forth to spread the peanut butter around in your butt cheek. I don't know what it does, but it's that's just part of life.
Yeah, I was waiting for you.
Do you guys know what it is?
I was just
what
is that? Can anyone explain this to me, what it's for?
I think it's penicillin.
That was the...
No, because I'm allergic to penicillin. It's definitely not penicillin.
You know what? That'd be great if they gave it to you anyway. They yeah, just didn't awesome. Ask. Is anyone allergic?
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't be that surprised.
No,
that
exactly.
That was the only day at boot camp where I thought I was going to lose it because I hate needles so much. And I was like, and that's in the beginning. I had tears in my eyes. I was like, what the fuck is this? Anyway.
I felt like such a bitch having penicillin. Like, I have to wear a special red dog tag. Like, because I'm a little bitch.
What a weirdo.
And they can't give me penicillin.
It is. Oh, man. Bicillin.
I don't know.
Kyle knows.
It's bicillin, it says. Military.com says it's known as bicillin. Every recruit receives it unless they have an allergy and can prove it. So, yeah, I guess it's a lot like penicillin, but bicillin. So there's...
It's the generic store brand of
yeah,
penicillin.
Probably.
It's, the, yeah, it's like the it's, Sam's Choice
it's
of penicillin.
Skill craft. Yeah. It's the Skillcraft vaccination.
Kirkland's best.
Yeah. Oh, don't you dare. We love Kirkland's around these parts. All right, let's get going with the actual show. More of getting started in the military. What do we got? It's a little recruiter goof in here, Kate.
Yeah, so before I get into it, I will ask you fellows the same thing that was asked in this viral video by a soldier going around to his buddies. If you could say one or two things to each of your recruiters, what would it be?
See, I don't have anything to say because when I joined, I knew what I wanted to do. I probably saw my recruiter twice. Like, I went in there and then he took me to MEPS and that's it. I couldn't tell you what his name was. If he came and knocked on my door, I'd have no idea who it was.
Mm. Right. Cons, do you guys have recruiters in the officer world?
Well, no. We had, just coaches that come recruit you for athletics, but not recruiters in the traditional sense in the military that you guys are talking about. So I don't know that I would have anything to say to anybody.
Kyle?
Mine was a lot like Chaps. I saw him twice, and I knew I just went in and was like, yeah, I want to enlist, and I took whatever job they had. I saw him at the bars more than I saw him anywhere else, so he was a yeah. He was a corporal, though. It was weird.
Yeah, that's normally like staff sergeants.
So, I mean, he didn't do anything bad.
Right. Mine, I would say, one, it's weird that you asked us to call you Poppy Chulo instead of staff sergeant. That is weird. He had it on a plaque and everything, which, hey, you do you.
Wait, the plaque said call me Poppy Chulo?
Well, it just said Poppy Chulo on it instead of like staff sergeant, whatever. And he's like, call me that.
See, I think you can get away with that if you're like a master sergeant, master guns. You can't get away with that as just a staff sergeant. You haven't been in the staff NCO game long enough. You got to be a master sergeant or a master guns.
And then finally, just a genuine thank you for him drilling it into my head to not speak up during that final moment of truth in boot camp.
Knowing
when I asked
you,
about...
I bet you were just absolutely a wreck.
I was.
Moment,
and I just remember
shit.
He knew me. He like figured out my brand and he like coached me so hard. Don't you dare open your fucking mouth. I promise you'll be okay. Shut the fuck up.
This recruit didn't smoke marijuana and cocaine.
I didn't smoke cocaine,
right,
for the record. Yeah.
That would be crack, I think, right?
It would be. Yeah.
Oh, crackhead,
hey,
Katie.
Good to hear you're not a crackhead, Kate.
Thanks. The Marine Corps fixed me right up. But anyway, you're right. Other than that, recruiters really don't. They put down the basics of whatever. And yes, they'll tell you that, there's the old adage. They'll promise you this, 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 and sometimes you don't get it. But it's nothing really nefarious. It's just an exhausted person trying to do their fucking job.
Can we go back to the drugs for a second? I want to say something before we go.
Sure.
I always, if somebody tells me they've done coke, I don't bat an eye. Like, that's not a big deal to me. Heroin, even. I'm like, eh. You tell me you did meth or you did crack, I'm like, okay, something's off here. Like, what are you doing meth or crack?
Well, you're at the right party and people are fiddling.
No,
that's the wrong party. That's not the right party. That's the wrong party.
Anyway.
Yeah.
People are human. Anyways.
Kate's child, I'm sorry. When you're listening to this in 20 years, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but across the Marine Corps, well, across every branch, really, it's kind of a thing. When you're in, when you're embracing the suck and you're having some super shit day, you say, fuck my recruiter for putting me here. It's kind of a common joke around the military. Fuck you to your recruiter is the kind of adage. But so this Twitter clip started going super viral from a guy who he took it in a completely different direction. But first, let's play the TikTok clip. It's by a young soldier named Bryce Pond. Okay, let's play the clip.
Hey, Omar, if you could say one thing to your recruiter, what would it be?
Fuck you.
Hey, word. Word. Yeah. If you could say one thing to your recruiter, what would it be?
That was fucking bullshit.
Hey. If you could tell one thing to your recruiter, what would it be?
Fuck you.
If you could say one thing to your recruiter, what would it be?
What that mouth to do?
I hope he dies.
Hey, if you could say one thing to your recruiter, what would it be?
Why the fuck did you lie to me?
If you could say one thing to a recruiter, what would it be?
Thank you very much for the job opportunity.
Hey, Frost. If you could say one thing to a recruiter, what would it be?
Why didn't you tell me about Airborne?
Pennington, if you could say one thing to a recruiter, what would it be?
Fuck you.
Good. Hey, if you could say one thing to a recruiter, what would it be?
Thanks.
If you could say one thing to a recruiter, what would it be?
Fuck you.
If you could say one thing to your recruiter, what would it be?
You're welcome for my service.
So, this other guy on Twitter named Alex Porter, he's a Columbia Law Fulbright scholar. Yeah, he's a democratic socialist of Suffolk County, whatever, New York. And he's very much, he like posts things like this all the time, which you know I love. Try to have fun and be kind and help people. We're not going to make it, to be honest, but it's okay. One day, luckily, we'll all be gone. That's beautiful. Make the most of your time here.
That's not beautiful at all. That's morbid as hell.
Another one. There is love and goodness in the world. I know it doesn't feel like it, but there is. You're not alone. So this fucking guy, he takes this clip of the TikTok kid saying, fuck you to their recruiters. And he goes, this is actually some of the saddest shit I've ever seen. He sees this clip and takes it as, this is the military industrial complex taking these little pups away from us and lying to them, feeding them lies and blah, blah, blah. And he posts it. And immediately the rest of idiot Twitter, It's at nearly 5 million views. He gets 164,000 likes, over 1,000 comments of people saying, oh my God, these poor babies. Okay, they take it completely the wrong way. And he says, since this blew up, I'll just follow up by saying, we all seem to agree this is bad. Military service is often a poverty draft. One of the wealthiest, most powerful countries on earth should be able to take care of all its citizens and not trick people into service. And right away, Kayla Williams, this author that I really like and follow on Twitter, she's like, actually, the poor are somewhat underrepresented in the military. That's not true what you're saying. And then she says, she goes on to list all these different reasons. But all these other people then hop on. They're like, this other person says, 100% agree. Often they're promised grants for college and other stuff. I'm willing to bet the stats show that most drafts come out of poor areas with few opportunities. I wish these youth had Congress reps who would create job opportunities so this is not their only choice. And then Bernie Girl said, that's why they won't make college tuition free. No one would join the military. They'd go to college instead. All these people took this post as if these kids were being dead serious. These soldiers were being dead serious. And that's the evil military for you, taking these kids and ruining their lives. And these kids have been trapped by these lying recruits. Shut the fuck up, Alex Peter.
Alex Peter. And I do agree. Like, there is an aspect. One, you're taking a lot of 19 to 22-year-olds primarily, and you're giving them a steady paycheck. Not giving, they're earning a steady paycheck. They're earning a place to live while they're doing this. They're learning a trade and a valuable skill without going to college. There's not many jobs that if you don't have a college degree, that within 4 or 5 years, you could be making the equivalent to 55, 60 grand a year. Like if you pick up sergeant, staff, and CO, like in that time where you're going to make that much money. Like you just don't find that. Lots of times, entry-level jobs after college don't even pay that. So this idea that you're taking advantage of, no, it's essentially, if you do it right, it's a four-year trade school.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, that's a nice living as an NCO to make in this country. And also, whether or not people will admit it, I think most everyone in the military would agree they took a lot of positives from it. Whether, and maybe they don't even realize it either. Like, they don't realize, like, oh, wow, I'm super disciplined now and I wasn't before. And they will attribute that to the military. Some people will go in the military and still show up 30 minutes late to their own radio show. Listen, it happens.
No. Kate's doing great.
We're all human. But I just...
Go ahead.
I hate guys like this who... Guys and gals like this who take something about the military and they know that all their little followers who know nothing about... Who know equally as little about the military as they do will latch onto it too and it'll go viral. They're like sweet little sentiment because it's just a flat out... wrong lie. I was like going through this guy's stuff and I just hated him more and more, and he was like, it's just a meme, bro. Huh, okay, tell that to the 22 vets who kill themselves every single day in the U.S. And that got 14,000 likes. First of all, it's not 22 a day. You know nothing about what you're talking about. And I just, it's such a lazy, stupid way to pander to people to get likes.
And also,
and
shut the fuck up. You're a Columbia law student who's sitting in an Ivy League school in New York City on a Fulbright scholarship. Yeah. What the fuck do you know about struggle?
You know, like, you really know who this gentleman could benefit from talking to is Colonel Jessup.
Himself. Like, yeah. he should talk himself down and be like, look, you are... Like, this is the example, the embodiment of somebody who is sitting in an Ivy League school, going to law school, who thinks they have everything in the world figured out. Mm. Fuck you, Peter. How about that?
Yeah, fuck you. But it's just one of those things where emotional prego Kate was scrolling, and I was like, this motherfucker. And his syrupy tweets got me, too. I was like, I fucking hate this guy, man. But this guy, Chris Gilmore, said it best. He's like, you know, the opinions of a bunch of Pogue E3s sitting in a training barracks on some sort of hold are not exactly the most fulfilled and experienced soldiers. They're young. They're stuck sitting around. And so, yeah, they're doing the age-old joke, fuck my recruiter. Ha ha. It's a fucking joke, dude.
And also, if you do use the military to get out of a poverty-stricken area, good on you.
Right.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah, that's pretty smart.
I guess I found it so disheartening because it was seeing the amount of traction that it got was a good reminder of how disconnected so many people are with the reality of the military. And yes, we agree the military is not perfect. There is, we were talking about the video gaming recruiters, mm-hmm. and like some of the wacky kind of shady stuff, like, oh, you're only 14, I'll still send you a couple documents to check out. Yeah. But overall, it's not this like nefarious, like down at that level. It's just not, man. It's like,
and this
up,
is
dude.
Not the same military that whenever you were a parachuter in World War II, you had a life expectancy of 14 seconds.
Yeah,
it's right. A lot
yeah.
different.
Very different. Yeah. And just to go back to the interview we did with Jordan Belfort, how he said he loves people in the military for all the reasons that we've mentioned. So it really can set you up to be successful in life. Not that's not like a absolute, but it certainly is a method.
If this guy listens to this, he's going to love that you're touting Jordan Belfort.
Yeah, probably. No, I just, I listened to the Belfort interview and I was impressed by what he had to say. And certainly, I do believe that people coming out of the military, whether or not they will admit it or even realize it, do have a lot of great experiences and skills that they can take with them the rest of their life.
And we're finding out in round number two that they're going to be living in a better place because the Army's putting $10 billion into the barracks, which is unbelievable. I don't know where all that money's going to go, but I guess the Army has a shit ton of barracks. If the Marines did that, every barracks would essentially look like fucking Four Seasons. It'd be really nice.
Well, part of the problem is that I think it's annually are we hitting round number two?
Yeah,
round number two.
You want to stop my ranting? Because I could go on
no,
all day on
I think
that
we're
stupid
good.
Man yeah. on Alex Peter. But anyway, the Army spends, I think it's like $700 million annually upkeeping shitty old barracks.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever. But this is an interesting story that kind of has a twist to it at the end, a secondary story that I thought was pretty interesting. So I don't know who wants to dive in.
All right. So the U.S. Army plans to spend $10 million repairing the barracks over the next decade to improve soldiers' standard of living. Sergeant Major of the Army Michael Grinston announced that the initiative and the move comes as the service continues to reform its privatized base housing, which is a long time coming. I hated dealing with those folks, man. They were the worst.
Yep.
The absolute worst.
This comes on the heels of what you're talking about. Neglected facilities, hazardous living conditions affecting families. I feel like once a month we have a story about it, about mold or something falling apart or dangerous conditions. So
yeah, so the... the sergeant major went to go talk to some troops, and one of them said, if I was at home and the washer and dryer didn't work in my house, there would be no way to do my laundry. I would demand someone fix that. That's what the sergeant major was relaying. He said, we have to demand the same thing in our barracks. It's okay to walk through the barracks. If something's not right, demand, not ask, demand that we fix it. And I completely agree. When I was a company gunny, those people down, the civilians that are working there, do not want an angry uniform in their office. They don't. So if you come in there and you start legit demanding that your people get treated, because it's contracted. It's not like it's an option. These people act like it's an option. It's not an option to fix it. You are under contract. You are obligated to do this.
Yeah, do your job.
Yeah, do your job. Because most of the time, it is true, the lower enlisted, the higher ups aren't living there, so they truly oftentimes like don't give a fuck what kind of conditions these Marines and soldiers and whatever are living in. That's proof.
And you view it as a rite of passage because it's what you dealt with. Like you're like, right. Oh, well, I dealt with this too, so they should have to deal with it. No, like no, that shouldn't be the attitude of leadership.
That's a terrible way to approach anything in life, really. Just because I had to suffer, everyone else should have to suffer too. That doesn't make any sense.
So the service anticipates that the barrack upgrade will cost 9.6 through fiscal year 2030. But in the meantime, soldiers should keep their focus and efforts to maintain the spaces where they start to end their days because the improvements will take some time. Most people that are in now will not see those benefits.
Never.
Like they just won't.
Never.
So, I mean, 10 years from now, if you're living in the barracks right now and you're still in the barracks in 10 years, that's sad.
We got other problems that we have to address.
If that's the case, we're going to have to revisit round one and say that fellow was correct. Like, you should not be in the barracks for 10 years at all. He said, we're going to put our money where our mouth is. Every leader and every soldier that we do is the when we redo the barracks. You're going to have to do your part to make things better, but we still have to maintain our barracks. I mean, that's just going to be field days. So that sounds terrible. Right.
Yeah, that's going to be for years and years and years. So, yeah, that's not a quick fix. And the reason I thought that story was interesting coming out this week, that all of a sudden the Army is announcing they're going to put $9.6 billion with a B dollars over the next 10 years to fix up the barracks, is that just last week, did you see the story from Stripes about top officer housing?
Yeah.
That, I wanted to read this because we didn't cover it last week, and I know it's a little out, but I thought it was pretty... That was a pretty good story here. In the fall of 2018, the Army gave one of its private housing partners $8.5 million from Fort Hood-based housing to buy Austin real estate for just three of its top leaders in the Army Futures Command Unit. The Army selected four properties for the three, all located in Austin's second most expensive zip code. Why four properties for the three leaders? The fourth property, worth $1.29 million, was just torn down and made a parking lot for another one of those three houses.
Pay paradise and put up a parking lot.
$1.29 million. They tore it down and put up a parking lot. The money is nearly the same amount that the Army allocated 2 years later to repair just under 1,000 homes at Fort Hood, known to have a water intrusion problem. So,
it's an Austin lake house, Michael. What could it cost? $10? Yeah.
So, Major General Robert D. Harder, Chief of Staff of Army's Material Command, said, I'd like to dispel the notion that there's a connection between the money spent at General Officer Housing and Austin.
No, okay. We got to do that again. I'd like to dispel the notion there's a connection between money spent in General Housing Officer and Austin.
And what we have available to invest in soldier family housing at Fort Hood. There's no impact on what we're investing at Fort Hood because of the purchase of homes in Austin. Yeah, but it still looks like shit when there's 1,000 flooded homes and you're spending the same amount to tear down some.
And I like how the general is acting like this is how it has to be. Dude, you're in charge. Like, you can shift the lines of appropriation. Like, switch it. Like, I understand general level officers do rate nice housing. They just do.
Yes,
they're in charge of a shit ton of people. They've been working for a long time. They're educated. They're valuable. They deserve a nice place to live. Do you deserve a multi-million dollar place to live? Probably not.
Well, listen to this. This, I think, really rubbed it in that, like, the same amount could fix thousands of homes for troops who never should be living in a shitty one in the first place. Some of the luxury features of these three single-family homes, built-in coffee makers, wine fridge, guest house, outdoor kitchen, tons of square footage. The two smaller ones, 3,300 and 4,200 square feet for $1.8 million and $2 million. The largest of the homes for General John Murray, the four-star general at the helm of the command, 5,700 square feet, private pool, three-car garage, wine grotto, media room, $3.4 million. Newly built general officer homes tend to be about 4,500 feet. And meanwhile, I think what made this so newsworthy, nine Army families filed a lawsuit in June against Fort Hood Family Housing for leasing conditions that were covered in mold, lead paint, asbestos, rat and insect infestations, and was delayed. They were delayed responses and inadequate responses to that kind of shit. And these are families with like kids and shit living in these homes. So the estimate for the rent of these three homes, $9,000 to $17,000 a month.
Wow. So just kind of put things...
$17,000 a month.
Kind of just to paint a picture a little bit here. Austin, while it's relatively close to Fort Hood, it's not that close that you should be living in Austin and going to Fort Hood every day. I know some guys who did it. But that's a 45-minute to an hour drive up I-35, so it's not something that you would want to do.
And it could be way longer than that.
Yeah, if you catch some traffic, especially like if you're going for PT in the morning, it's just a ridiculous notion to live full-time in Austin. Now, if you are an intelligent person, you get with a few other buddies, and you rent an apartment in Austin that you have so that you have somewhere to go on the weekends and live there on the weekends. That would be the smart thing to do. But... this is kind of silly and ridiculous that they're spending this kind of money on these generals. I didn't realize the Army was doing that. I completely agree. Like, hey, you know, you reach a certain rank, you should have a nicer home. Okay, that's fine.
And I don't even mind the square footage, but no. It's in a nice location.
Yeah,
I mean, getting 4,000, 5,000 square feet in Austin, you're not going to get that cheap anywhere. But this has to be pretty prime location.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is harsh, but I feel like we're putting a hold on fancy ass housing until we fix it for the lowest among us.
Yeah, it should be the same thing as like you. We don't eat until they eat. Like not it should be nothing. The same exact principle.
Not for nothing. These generals, I don't know, but maybe shame on them for them to know that their houses cost this when in fact all these other soldiers are living in squalor, so to speak, with all these problems in their houses.
If I was that rank, I'd be like, fuck
yeah, you're looking out for yourself, too. It's the same principle as what we saw this week on the Hill, whenever they were bringing in all sorts of different CEOs from, like, pharmaceuticals and things like that. And one of the – I forget what her name is. Her first name is Katie. Yeah.
Katie Porter. Yeah.
Yeah, and she brings out these charts because she was, like, a legit, like, math and – professor and economy professor. So she'll bring out these charts and you have these CEOs and she'll say, so essentially there is nothing different about the medicine, but you raise the price where you increase profits by $32 million. You got $19 million of that. Why didn't your employees get a raise? And they're just like, oh, like that's the same shit that should happen to these generals. Yeah. Like, bring them in. Why do you deserve a lake house on Lake Travis? Why can't you just get like a nicer house somewhere else? Because you do deserve a nice house if you're a general.
Yeah, but there's a lot of nice towns in between Austin and Fort Hood. There's other nice towns that wouldn't be as ridiculous as this. But I think they have to attract them with, you know, Lake Travis, as you mentioned, and the appeal of living in Austin because it's such a nice city.
Well, these are for the reserve unit that are outside, that are actually in Austin. There's like a reserve unit there.
Yeah. Oh,
so these generals are stationed
there.
So they're actually in Austin.
Oh, all right. Well, that's a horse of a different color. But nonetheless, I still think it's a little pricey.
I still say fuck them.
Yeah, I agree. Fuck them. Let's move on.
I'm sorry. Last thing. I kind of want to get invited to check these houses out because they seem like they're pretty cool.
Oh, I'll never
Imagine me and I'm out with the girls in Austin for a bachelorette party and I wake up the next day and I'm in some general's grotto, pool grotto.
Oh
I'm
my
like,
gosh.
Somebody's got to come pick me up.
I would love that.
Me too. Me too.
I'd also like it if you guys didn't work at Barstool and you had the opportunity to move somewhere. I'd appreciate it if you moved to Indiana.
Indiana
is absolutely lovely. People are talking about it all the time because facing the transition of getting out of the military is rarely easy. It doesn't help that the staggering number of options you're faced with can be overwhelming. I mentioned it on the Jordan Belfort interview, but I think that Iceman from Generation Kill made an amazing point. He was... served 28 years in the Marine Corps, got out as a master sergeant, and whenever he left, he said they spent 27 and a half years teaching me how to become a killer, how to become a Marine, and they spent 2 weeks teaching me how to be a civilian. I think that's one of the more accurate statements about leaving the military that I've ever heard. If you are leaving the military, you need to find a job. There's over 80,000 current job openings in Indiana. InVets.org is the digital connecting point to our employers specifically looking to hire veterans, and there are a lot of those jobs out there. InVet workers are, they work with employers from all different industries across the state of Indiana to create a second door in the hiring process specifically for the veterans. All you have to do is go to invets.org/euro to create a profile to learn more about the Indiana communities, browse that current open job markets in these communities, and receive your free t-shirt. That's invets.org/euro. Kate, what is that in the phonetic alphabet?
Igloo. Neato. Variety. Extreme tacos. Sup.
That's exactly right. All right, let's move on to round number three. What do we got?
Extreme tacos.
Ooh, I hope everybody, before we get into this round, everybody go to the closet, grab your snivel gear, grab your toasty coats, and your what's that crazy winter gear we wear?
Vortex?
No, it has a name. It's like the super...
Happy suits.
The happy suits. Grab your happy suits. We're getting chilly here. So this is a neat little round about Greenland. I did not know that during the Cold War we were Greenland goofing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Didn't we almost bought them last year,
yeah,
didn't we?
Trump, they were for sale on Zillow for cheaper than that mansion in Austin.
Right, exactly. So throughout the Cold War, the U.S. and the Soviet Union were locked in steady competition for nukes, basically, and positioning of the nukes and blah, blah, blah.
They were new nuke goofing, yeah.
They were just new nuke goofing and trying to one-up each other. So the Soviets, for example, the Soviet Union invested in armored trains that would transport these massive weapons around Siberia, and these Frankenstein-like helicopter contraptions capable of delivering huge nuclear payloads to distant launch sites. Meanwhile, the U.S. was looking for novel approaches, sometimes even on foreign soil. And one of the fastest ways to Russia, my friends, over the Arctic Circle. So being way, way far up north was key. So the U.S. struck a sneaky deal and began construction of a large facility.
Yeah, that is weird, right? Like, you could fly north and get to Russia.
Why are we going around?
Weird. That is
weird. Why did we go around to Afghanistan? We could have gone up and over.
And at what point do you stop going north and you're going south even though you're going the same direction?
Bro,
buddy,
it's like,
if I knew.
It's like the earth is round or something. I don't know. I don't get it.
That's weird, man.
It's super weird. I know when I read that, I was like, whoa, oh my God. Yeah, shocking.
Old grandma from the woods had ass.
Yeah, so position in the Arctic was key. The U.S. sneaks a sneaky deal with Greenland, and we start building a facility under the ice of northern Greenland. This program was called Camp Century, and these massive under-ice tunnels for storage, transportation, launchable nukes, it was called Project Ice Worm.
Incredible name.
Great name. It was less than 1,000 miles from the North Pole, where the temperature at Camp Century was around 10 degrees Fahrenheit below zero. Mm. And common occurrences, it wasn't uncommon for it to reach negative 70.
Oof.
The average snowfall, 4 feet per year. Random winds, 70 miles an hour on any given day. So if you got stationed there, good times all around. This
That's when you know
internet.
It's super cold. When it's almost, when it's too cold to snow, that's when it's really cold.
Yeah, too cold. So imagine getting stationed there, no phone, no internet, no whatever. You were just stuck up in this under the ice. So anyway, in 1959, the U.S. Army Engineer Corps began excavating 2 miles worth of tunnels beneath northern Greenland's ice sheet. Beneath the arched steel roof and layers of ice and snow, the Army created tunnels that would be workspaces, housing, and even recreational activities. So they lived under the ice in these, like, essentially homemade igloos of sorts under there.
And in fact, that's where that TikTok came from. Round one is actually there. It
was they were there under the ice in northern Greenland, bored as shit.
And so
they were mad at their recruiters. By the end of 1960, Camp Century even had a main street under the ice that was 1,100 feet long, 26 feet wide, 30 feet tall, had multiple barracks, a chapel, a library, a gym, and a movie theater under the ice. Each barracks facility had one large common area and 5 individual rooms, which were separated from the ice with little air gaps so that they wouldn't melt from the room's internal heating. So I mean, I can't imagine getting stationed in an ice barracks. It's just kind of, at its peak, there was over 200 soldiers hidden from the frigid cold. The plan, this was just 2 miles. The plan called for 2,500 miles of subsurface tunnels under the ice.
Were the ones that are living in the barracks, were they on a working party, like, to dig these tunnels?
And we dig. Yeah, so I have no idea. They, but there was more to...
It's off to dig some snow.
Bum, bum, bum. Oh, what a treat, yeah. Jeff. But bad news. Bad news when it came to these ice tunnels. They put in all this money and all this time and all this effort building this under ice world. Guess what they didn't realize?
What?
Global warming.
Ice sheets, enormous ice sheets move.
Ice
moves. By 19.
They forgot. Yeah. They forgot to work on their ice moves.
Working on these ice moves. By 1962, the ceiling in the room housing the nuclear reactor had lowered by 5 whole feet. Not great. Forcing expensive repairs in order to maintain. You mean our hot nuke room's melting into the ice? What the fuck? Soon, core samples were taken that confirmed that the ice sheet was moving so rapidly, the entire installation would be unusable in a matter of years. Find me a more military story than that.
Yeah, right? But if you have... A nuclear meltdown on an ice cap, that could affect the entire globe, like, legit.
Yeah.
If you melt Greenland's ice, like, New York, sorry
Tidal wave for days. Sorry about that. You guys think up here in Greenland, whatever, you think, like, middle of the year, July, whatever, Santa just pops by with, like, a cup of coffee, like, just kind of moseys around. Hey, what's going on, guys?
Who?
Santa.
Oh, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
I just picture whoever was in charge of this idea in the beginning was probably touted as, like, a genius. Oh, my God. Yes. Under the ice.
Duh. Makes so much sense.
Probably some Lance Corporal.
Soviet Union will never fucking know, dude. Never. This is incredible. And then, like, 4 years later, hey, checking back in with you guys about Project Iceworm. You're not going to believe this.
I think the worst part about being in Greenland, have you ever, like, watched the Alaska documentaries or Siberia, the places that get super cold? Once everything melts in the summer, it's like a breeding ground for mosquitoes, and they don't have anything to get rid of it. The mosquitoes in Greenland during the summertime would be terrible.
That sounds miserable.
Yeah. There's really no good time of year, it seems. So that Project Iceworm, rest in peace. It was a neat idea. I'd never heard of it. I would love to talk to a soldier who was there who knows what it was like living under the ice and doing that secret project. And
yeah, so if you're listening and you're in Project Iceworm, hit us up. We'd love to talk to you. DM Kate. We can get it going.
It sounds so fake. I feel like it's too, you come home from that deployment and people are like, oh yeah, sure. Oh, you lived in a little ice cube. Okay, Greenland. Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. I just feel like nobody would believe me.
Yeah,
it
would be all anyway. Got my goose, pulled my leg type of thing. Right. The next story that we have, round number four, is another story that I've never heard of. I had no idea that this existed, and I got immediately happy, and I need to meet somebody who does this. This story comes from Baldwin, Pennsylvania, and it says that special agents from the United States Postal Service raided the home of a mail carrier over the weekend.
Now, hold the phone right there. I didn't know that there were special agents within the Postal Service.
That's what the story is. Like, yeah. I am legitimately shocked that they have special agents. The story goes on to say, at a time when public confidence in mail delivery is low, a mail carrier is suspected of putting out his deliveries with the morning trash. I have to admit, if I was a mailman and having a rough day, like, and I was just like, I got some other shit to go do. I got to go to Home Depot.
Tempting.
I got to go to Bed Bath & Beyond. I just dump that shit. I would absolutely just, but I wouldn't do it in my own trash. I would find, like, some dumpster at, like, a CVS and put it
all. You would be better than that.
No, I wouldn't.
I don't think you would.
The agents raided the carrier's home on Sunday night, confiscating 8 large garbage bags of suspected undelivered mail. From inside his house, the mail carrier, whose name is Sean, had nothing to say Monday after agents rolled up in front of his house in an unmarked van and collected the bags of trash. So, basically, I mean, I assume that there had to been, how many pieces of mail you think are in a black garbage bag?
Hundreds. I'd say
thousands.
Yeah, I'd say probably 1,500. You could probably fit 15, about 1,000 in there. Mm. I bet 850 are letters from some scam company from the VA trying to get you to refinance your house.
Yeah, that and Bed Bath and Beyond 20% off coupons.
How clutch is this story for all the deadbeat dads in Allegheny County people yeah. who are like, I swear I sent you that birthday card. Must have been in that Sean guy's trash. I'm sorry, son. I did. There's yep. money in there, too.
And that's not it about our mail carrier friend. He's not only lazy, he's also a giant weirdo who believes in the QAnon conspiracy because according to screenshots of a Facebook page apparently belonging to him, the mail carrier had been trafficking in conspiracy theories related to QAnon for at least several months. QAnon is a baseless pro-Trump conspiracy theory that falsely believes elites and Democrats are running an underground child prostitution ring and eating babies. I mean, this is just, like, how do you get to this point in your life where you think people are legit eating babies? Belief in this conspiracy.
I'll let you know.
Dude, I'll tell you what. Yeah,
I'll let you know if my baby gets eaten or not.
You go down enough rabbit holes, you see enough YouTube videos, you could start to believe just about anything's true.
I did watch this documentary on a guy who was talking about people getting radicalized by YouTube and how it starts where you watch one video because you're interested on how somebody could believe flat earth, and the next thing you know, if you watched 50 videos in a row and your brain is like twisted or something. I don't know. But one of the screenshots from his Facebook page show a cartoon meme implying that mainstream media is ignoring a huge child trafficking and pedophilia ring in favor of covering the Black Lives Matter protests. The assumption that there's a large-scale trafficking and pedophilia ring in America is false and has been debunked by several news outlets. I like how the news agencies have to include that now. Like, just in case you go Googling it, it's actually not true. The Post Office Inspector General said that its agents acted on a tip and promised to conduct a thorough inventory of those badges.
This was a tip. Yeah, hi, my neighbor Sean's crazy as fuck. and he's a mailman, and there's a lot of crap.
I mean, that is exactly what happened, Kate, because special agents received different classes of mail, including business mail, flats, and small amounts of first-class mail. We expect to perform a piece-by-piece count of the mail tomorrow and make arrangements to have the mail delivered to customers as soon as possible. But neighbors who did not want to be identified said that other suspects' mail has regrettably already found its way to the landfill. Neighbors say trash bags like the one in the photo from 2 weeks ago have been put outside his house almost every Sunday or Monday for pickup.
Oh, God.
Newman. Classic.
That's such a gut. If you're putting checks and important information and like, God, that's such an icky feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but let's be honest. I mean, I understand that certain things still go through the mail, but how much relative to what it used to be that's important still goes through just the regular old snail mail?
It just sucks right now, too, when QAnon, though, is pushing that whole theory that, like, mail-in voting is a fraud and blah, blah, blah. I mean,
I should mention, mail-in voting, quite the hot topic these days.
Yeah, and so that does not help.
I want somebody from... What do you do most days if you're part of, like, a special operating unit in the post office? There can't be that many mail raids that you have to do.
There's probably a lot of stakeouts for suspicious mailboxes.
And what's their jurisdiction? Are they, like, tactically trained? Are they, like, gunners?
Do they carry a weapon?
Yeah. What does their badge look like? Where do you go to train? Like, do you have the ability to make an arrest if you're a post office person?
I picture them kind of like in Will Ferrell and the other guys. They just have a wooden gun and maybe a whistle.
Yeah, I like that.
Not to do this a second time in the same show, but I picture myself, I'm out at a bachelorette party, and I'm at the bar, and this time it's a special agent for the mail service. I don't know. I don't know if I'm leaving the girls for this one.
Ooh. Yeah, I don't think you're leaving the girls for this one. Because imagine he's might. Like sitting there. He's all shaky trying to smoke a cigarette. Like, what happened? Mail fraud.
Yeah, I feel like tell me some stories. And then I'd say, see ya. No offense. Or ladies.
Right.
I think you'd be curious enough to follow him, Kate.
I don't know.
I'm just glad the people will get their mail. That's really all. We really just had the story is not that interesting. The fact that there's a special operating force inside the post office,
that's
incredibly interesting. Yeah. What else has one that we don't know about that's federal? Like the museums? Like what else is out there that has like a special police force?
And there has to be like the most intense story. Like every branch of like security has its like the one legendary story. I wonder what the one in the mail service is that like sit down.
It's got to be involving the Pony Express. Has to
for
be
for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Listen, I want to know about special ops in every community, and I want to know about every tunnel we got going in this country.
The fact that Kate wasn't born during the time of the Pony Express is a tragedy for all mankind. You would have been the best Pony Express mail deliverer ever.
I genuinely think, Chaps, like, if that was still a thing today, I would try out for it.
No, if you, I swear to God, if you called me one day after we get off the Chaps and Kate show, you're like, hey, I wanted to wait till after the show, but I gotta let you know, I put my 2 weeks in to Dave and Erica because finally the opportunity for me to be involved in the Pony Express came up and it's not an opportunity I could turn down. That makes sense. Enjoy yourself. Like, I don't want to hold you back here.
That just gave me another thought. You know what else I could picture Kate doing when all is said and done? Carriage rider in Central Park.
Oh, yeah. I could see Kate at, like, say, her baby. So 55, 60 years old Kate. Her baby goes off to school. Kate wants to get back in shape. She loves riding a bike. She can do one of those bike taxis.
Yeah, that works
Absolutely. I'd be a tour guide lady somewhere. For sure, for sure. A Segway tours or something. Yeah.
Of the Tasty Cake Factory.
I just shipped a box to my, just shipped a ton to my buddy in Ohio, Idaho.
Did you?
They don't have Tasty Cakes in Idaho?
No, my girlfriend just moved there and I was like, I got you. I sent her like a bulk box of them. Anyway.
All right, let's do a little police call goofing. What do we got in round five, Kate?
Oh, police calls. That's one of my very first memories from the fleet when I got sent out to Oceanside. It was like the first night I was there. We all got called out.
The fleet makes
lot.
Me think we got to talk about that one fella real quick. The crazy racist rant.
Super racist guy?
Yeah. Who dropped, he was acting like he was the biggest badass in the world. And he said, when I get out to the fleet, I wish a motherfucker would. Shut up, boot. How about that?
It was the video was upsetting to everyone until he said that, and then we're like, oh, you're a dumb baby, you're a dumb racist baby. But anyway, police calls. One of my first nights in the fleet, we all get called out into the parking lot, and it was the cigarette butt police call. People have been flicking their butts, and we spent hours just circling the barracks picking up butts. And I said, this is the military? What? we did a ton of them at Fort Leonard Wood and all over the place. But I didn't think this was gonna. Stupid me, didn't think it was going to carry on so heavily in the fleet as it did. I thought it was more of a fuck game before that, but oh, was I wrong. So U.S. Army What the Fuck Moments posted this tweet. We normally don't tweet this late. They posted it like 1 in the morning, but this photo is just so Army. I love it so much. Guess what these cadets are searching for? And it is a line of like 100 cadets in a perfect line on their hands and knees.
Shoulder to shoulder.
Shoulder to shoulder, inches from the grass. And intense. It reminded me of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah,
they might
old
as well have been
Rick Moranis had ass.
They might as well have been. I hope he's recovering from that punch on that.
Oh yeah.
Side. But anyway, but they might as well be in harnesses with magnifying glasses, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids style, looking for this thing. The answer was a firing pin. And if you've ever seen one, it is like
bobby pin. It's like half the size of a bobby pin.
And they're looking in this grass that some of it's rusty, like the color of a firing pin.
You know what they should have done? They should have went down to Harbor Freight and for the low cost of $12.99 got one of those magnetic things on the end of a broomstick and just rolled it around.
Should have just rolled that around. But that would have been the easy way. One guy said, just buy a bunch of extra firing pins. You won't have these problems. That made me think.
That's a good point.
Why didn't every unit have, you know, like that guy in prison who just knows how to get things?
Yeah, Red.
Every unit needs a Red that's like, don't worry, I got 20 extra firing pins in my cargo pocket right now. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I got
that is true, though. I mean, how much can a box of firing pins cost?
I know.
Like every single armory in the entire military has dozens of pins and firing pin retaining pins. They're all over the place. There's no need for this shit.
No.
Yep, there's no need. And so we went on to the Zero Block 30 Twitter account. We asked, what is the stupidest thing your unit ever had to police call for? I know mine was an M9 armory spring, and we were all at the armory. It was late. It was after a long day. We're cleaning our weapons, and somebody lost their M9 spring, and it was hours of just nightmare fuel searching. It was never found. And somebody replied, Chaps, a good armorer would have had a magnetic sweeper.
Right.
And they probably did, and were like, fuck you, I don't care.
Which is part of it. And they probably just a little ahead of schedule and wanted to make everybody wait, and they have finally found an excuse.
Also, that's a good way to teach a lesson.
It's a good time killer, too. So Bubba Craddock, he said, we had to police call for rocks in a rocky motor pool. That's a time killer. You don't know what else to do with your troops that day, so you're making them pick up rocks. This one hurt my heart, because just the suck of this one. At Let's Twit It Up said, in the middle of the night, a couple of vests flew off of an SURC. What's an SURC?
We'll no just idea. Assume Anybody? It's a military vehicle of sorts.
Okay. Anyways, these vests flew off and hit a sandbar somewhere near Courthouse Bay in Camp Lejeune. We had to do a police call in the water by feel with our feet. In the middle of the night, they made them get in the water and shuffle around trying to feel for these vests in the water after a long-ass day. Nightmare fuel.
So that's a small unit riverine craft. So it's like those black boats with the little
motor.
So
they had to hop out and like just squish their feet around in Courthouse Bay. At Mike RT 2013 said, a PEC 15 that the CO never actually checked to see if it existed before signing for it.
Oh, what an idiot. What an idiot.
Overnight, police called the company. It was never found. The armorer, who wasn't even there when it got lost, was the one who got charged for it. The XO got everyone to pitch in and cover the cost, except for the CO, of course. I love this one. Mini Soda Guy said, grass was too tall in front of CQ10 on FTX. Had to use our Gerber knives to cut the grass to approximately 1 inch. Not quite a police call, but still, shoulder to shoulder, cutting the grass with a knife.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty tough. Connor said, a lost medic, 2 battalions worth of people doing hands across America. I haven't heard that in forever. But holding hands in the middle of the night all together, going like, the hills are alive. Ada Murphy said, pine cones. We had to do that a lot, picking up pine cones for no reason. Bayonet, blue bodies, M203s, and the M203 one, it just had fallen behind the armorer's cage.
Ugh.
So they were searching for it forever. It was just behind the armorer's cage. And then the most common one, this guy, Neil Princick, 31, said, the amount of times I've stayed late at work because someone lost their radio. We got so many responses about missing radios.
I make my kids police call my backyard.
For now. Dog poop?
Yep, for dog poop. Like, I make them go in the legit lines where they go around in the line to make sure. And then I go out there and check. And if I find one piece, they start from the beginning. You have to go all the way from the start.
Go all the way back again.
Love it.
That's when I was a kid. My brother and I would pitch and putt golf balls around the backyard. And then my mom would hit them with the mower. And they'd go flying into something or fuck up the... And so we...
And make her spill her butt off. Heavy. That's where you know
make
you messed up.
Make her spill her butt heavy. You know, she had one in her little koozie. But yeah, I definitely do not. I do not miss. And at Barstool, we still, radio's the same thing. The little microphones that we tack to our collars.
The lavalier mics, yeah.
Lavalier mics. That's what I feel like we police call for the most at work. Has anybody seen that fucking lavalier mic? Those little things go missing all the time.
I do that for the Roku mics.
Yeah. But so there you have it. I do not miss doing that. That's for damn sure. But we got a lot more funny answers too. So thank you to everybody who participated.
All right, let's move on to save rounds and alibis. Kyle, we'll start with you.
Okay, the police call round, you guys mentioned 2-9. Were you alluding to the lost rifles?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That was 3-6.
Oh, 3-6, as you were.
Yeah, so got to get ahead of that one. We were going to hear it big on that. just want to say fuck you, Alex Peter.
Yeah.
Sounds like a real big fucking chode.
Right, the more you scroll through his thing, the more angry you get inside.
Excellent use of choke. And I got to say, it's people like him that think that, like, liberals are elitist. Like, him having his little profile picture and all his little bullshit, he's exactly what people hate. Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a fucking idiot. And you guys know the Treasury? The Department of the Treasury?
Sure.
I've heard of it.
Yeah. Yeah. They have their own police, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it used to be that police force used to be called the Secret Service, but they transitioned.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Secret Service was founded to protect the money and the mint.
Yeah, to protect the mint and detect counterfeits and shit. And now they're just to look real cool wearing badass suits and carry Uzis.
But their badges, I think of all the federal ones, they have really cool badges. The U.S. Treasury, U.S. is enormous, and then Treasury is like looped underneath. Just so classic. It's almost like if the New York Yankees logo was a police badge.
Yeah. I don't mean to bring this up 3 times in the pod, but if I was out at a bar with the girls and I saw a U.S.
Kate
Treasury
has
badge,
not been out to the bars lately, if you haven't noticed.
You got something on her mind.
Reminds you of the bar.
Up dudes.
Oh, speaking of the bar and a pregnancy story, Kate, did you see the story of the lady who I believe it was in Boston? She had a baby. She was supposed to take the bar exam. She brought the bar exam to the labor and delivery room, took it while she was in the process of having a baby, had the baby, finished the bar exam, and passed.
Wow.
Can I say something? Women Show like this off. Are really breaking my balls.
Yeah.
Like, I was in the kitchen area at work the other day, and one of the guys from Penn National Gaming was there, like one of the bigwigs. And he's like, oh, Kate, heard you're having a baby. My wife's due at the same time. And I'm like, oh, that's sweet, blah, blah, blah. And I start telling him, oh, yeah, I've been tired, and I've got – I, like, start complaining a little bit. And he's like, oh, my wife's a physician. She's on her feet all day doing surgeries and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, fuck you. Like, God damn it. There's all these women doing all this cool shit while they're pregnant. It's so impressive. And I'm like, but I can't take out the trash.
Oh, but how many episodes of Morning Sunshine has she done?
Good point.
Yeah, okay, answer me that, mm-hmm. fancy.
Yeah, where's
lady.
Her podcast? Mm-hmm.
Where's right, her radio exactly. show?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Lazy.
So figuring yeah. it out.
Lazy. Right.
Surgery, big deal.
Yeah.
Gons, what about you, pal? Now.
Earlier in the week, Kate and I were victorious in Jenga, and I have to say thank you to Catherine because it was on my last poll that had she not stepped in and given me some coaching on which way to go, I don't know that I would have been able to make the poll. So thank you to Kate on that.
Good old enlisted advising.
Yep.
Those are my little physical security eyeballs, which, chaps, I'm looking your way with the stepping on the mm-hmm. cinder block next. Mm-hmm. Just, mm-hmm. helping you
remember,
out.
Remember, listen to your NCOs. That's
exactly
the lesson.
Right.
That's the lesson mm-hmm. learned there. Speaking of NCOs and soldiers, I saw a meme today, or not today, sometime this week, and it was a face of somebody, and it's like, oh, when you see the officers go home for lunch. Something I used to do randomly is I would just not when I had a platoon, but like when I was later on in my career, I would just take random NCOs or younger enlisted soldiers, and I would take them home to my house and make them lunch. Just
yeah, they're all women. That's which is
weird.
Gross, guns.
Weird. And then last thing, Saturday I am a fish. Saturday I'm officiating my 6th wedding.
Whoa!
Yeah, that
cool.
really not. Yeah,
Kate, what say, about you?
That's the whole story.
Yeah. This week, I have. Oh, you thought I was done talking about being pregnant?
No, I expected to go on
fuck.
Forever.
I have this app called the Bump app, which tells me every single day, gives me like stupid little facts about the baby, like what size it is, what it weighs, blah blah blah, like. Last week, it could fit
you don't
a little
have
chocolate
to say
chip
stupid.
In each hand.
People, okay, you can, you're allowed to be excited about okay. the process of making a human. Like, you don't have to be self-deprecating about it. It's cool.
It's cool. Like, last week when they said a chocolate chip could fit in each of its palms, yeah. I was blown away. I was like, holy fuck.
Like, he's
I was
standing
so
out there like a movie scene. He's like,
holding little chocolate
chips. Like, he sees Cusack and Say Anything?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'm making pancakes and two little chocolate chips come out of my belly button. I'm like, thank you, good set. Bloop, bloop. Anyways. So I decided to do it to take because they're like, this week your baby's the size of a folded up pair of sunglasses or whatever, as the size of a tissue box, whatever. So this week my baby is the size of standard issue iPro,
oh.
which you better be wearing on your daggone head.
Uh-huh.
And my nipples are the size of Whoop. Claymore mines.
Okay.
I don't know. I didn't know we needed to know that one.
Claymore mines. Mm.
Yeah, oh yeah, and the baby weighs.
Wait, time out. Claymore mines are rectangular,
buddy. You have no idea what happens to our bodies. Don't even act.
Yeah, it's
like
16 by 20. Good God.
No, yeah, I'm all nipple right now. My whole body.
Oh man.
Anyway, weird. And they are dark. Anyway. Too much, and he weighs as much as a pack of MRE au gratin potatoes.
Okay.
How neat is that? 5 ounces.
Neat. Nice.
Anyway, also happy 245th birthday to the Navy. Sorry, we were late, but we still care.
But I was gonna say, but I don't care.
I did the ZB history. They got a shout out. They got what
exactly.
they deserved.
Yeah,
okay.
he gave
them
their due.
We don't have to say it here.
That's
fine.
True. And Khan's happy birthday. I hope you're doing Thank something you. Fun this weekend besides officiating a wedding, which
Thank
is also
you.
Neat.
Thank you.
And I also want to state for the record, on behalf of the rest of ZBT, that SEAL Team 6 did not get killed by President Obama and Joe Biden. They are very much still alive. So that story was untrue. It's on the retreat.